Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Welcome to Women in WP. This episode is sponsored by Ninja Forms, a professional form builder plugin for WordPress that allows you to make beautiful forms with ease. I'm Angela Bowman.
And I'm Tracy Epps.
Our guest today is Raquel Landefeld, who is joining us from a very hot Phoenix, Arizona. She manages the community and events for Elegant Themes and Divi. She also wrangles the community for new content and assists Matt Medeiros with the WP Minute, another fabulous, is it a podcast or a news?
Both.
That's what I thought. Yes, exactly. Because I knew that it was also newsy related. So there was a lot of information coming out of there aside from the podcast. So welcome, Raquel.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We like to start off each episode by asking our guests how they got into WordPress. How did you get started?
I got started, I joke, like accidentally, or maybe more so incidentally. My partner at the time lost his day job during the recession and had built WordPress sites on the side for years at that point. And we were both faced with like what to do and just decided to take the little tiny WordPress agency full throttle. And that's what we did. I didn't expect to be a partner, but we took a business coaching course, like a 12-week course. And they were like, your wife has to do it with you. And we were like, okay. And then by the end of the 12 weeks, I was a partner and like basically COO. Like I just basically ran operations for the entire company. And I didn't actually though, like I wasn't really like technically in the space. I just made sure everything was running accordingly. And then in 2012, I attended my first WordCamp, and it was WordCamp San Diego. And I was like absolutely blown away. I just was, I mean, like kind of like jaw drop moment of like, is this real life? Because I had never been in a community where people genuinely wanted to get to know you and know you for no other reason than just you being a human and just so welcoming and so inclusive. And I was kind of simultaneously beaming, like beaming, and also shocked because I come from a lot of communities and not ever were any of those communities this kind. So that kind of hooked me. And I actually started getting into like the volunteering side of things. And so really kind of started contributing to the community early on. And that's kind of just, I mean, the gist of the story. And then I mean, for the sake of not getting into any further questions, but that was how I got started in WordPress.
That sounds like pretty much a lot of people, right? What was your like intended, what did you think before all those WordPress stuff, before the recession, what did you think that you would be doing?
Oh, that's actually part of my story. I mean, I literally say I have a WordPress story and I've actually given talks about it before, but I had no idea. I didn't even have an identity. Like part of, I literally say I found my identity through WordPress. WordPress in essence, like basically like sort of saved my life. I got married very, very young. I had kids very, very young. And that was my identity. I was a wife and a mom. And those identities are good identities, but they're contingent on other humans. So that wasn't my identity. It was an identity that was sub Raquel, but who was Raquel? I had no idea. And so early on ahead of time, I just was busy being a mom and, you know, doing well being a mom. And I'm still very much a mom, but I didn't know who I was. And discovering WordPress and the community and all of that really honestly helped me discover my giftings. Like I didn't know who I was. I didn't know anything about me. I didn't know that I loved humans so much. I didn't know that I was a true extrovert. I didn't know that I was literally addicted to volunteering. So, I mean, that's where I was. I didn't know anything. I didn't have any ambitions or goals. And honestly, getting into WordPress is what kind of opened my eyes to like, oh my God, I don't know who I am. And it like helped me discover who I am.
Well, I can't imagine the community without you. It's always a joy because it's like, aww, so great. I love that. I have met you through this community. Anyway, go ahead, Angela.
Oh, yeah. No, it's an amazing story because I had kids very, 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 very young. And that was my identity. And just when you're saying that, I kind of was thinking, wow, I think the same thing kind of happened for me. I was getting into WordPress, you know, in my late 30s, and kids were getting older, and my first child, and had another child. And it was like the WordPress gave me that opportunity to shine, to be somewhere where I could kind of figure out like, oh, I can do public speaking and I can teach and I have these things to offer that people liked. And it did help me to figure out who I was as an adult, aside from being someone's mom. Yeah. And I'd say that probably more than anything really helped to do that. But we've never had someone on the show say that before. So that's awesome. Yeah. And we've had a lot of moms on, but it was just like, I don't know, the way that you articulated that, it's never been said, but I feel like, I think other people will resonate with that.
Well, I say backward. So back in the day, it wasn't backward, right? We were all women, we were home, and, you know, we're homemakers. And, but, you know, considering timeline of now, I was the minority for sure. Like even my kids, and maybe you can relate, Angela, but like, when my oldest was entering kindergarten, all the moms were 10 years older than me, if not older.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
And so I felt very like, okay, I did things a little backward. I didn't do my career first. It came second. And I still am not fully able to go full throttle because my kids, I have got two more years. the youngest is 16. And I'm like, I feel like watch out world. You're not going to know what hit you when I'm no longer full-time mom. I will always That's be mom, amazing. But I'm not full-time mom. Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's so cool. You mentioned in your email to us, like one of the biggest challenges in the field was feeling underrepresented. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, off the bat, we know, you know, as women that we're underrepresented in tech, it just is what it is. And that is, I guess for me, that never bothered me too much because I've always felt underrepresented in the underrepresented. And I think I even said that in the survey. And that is just because I am very multiracial in that my mother was Indigenous, and registered tribal member. And so am I, and actually so are my kids. But they're also her father was Caucasian. But culturally, you know, her father actually died when she was young. And so it was all from her native mother, my grandmother. And then my father was Hispanic. But my father was always working. My parents were very, we were poor. It just is what it is. And in that, you're underrepresented, right? So I was always kind of adjacent to a full community my whole life. Like I never was full any sort of ethnicity. And so I was always adjacent to, we grew up poor. So, but then, you know, in schools, you're adjacent to people from wealth, you know, and so being triracial essentially, and also never feeling like you're fully accepted. The only time I ever felt fully accepted was in my Indigenous family with all of my family. But like when my parents moved us to Phoenix when I was a little bit younger, and Phoenix had especially inner city is probably predominantly Hispanic, and I wasn't fully Hispanic, so then I wasn't accepted. And you know how kids are just, you know, we have hard times when we're kids. We're not the nicest. So that really kind of gave me a really big love. I think that's where it started, was this love for humans and wanting to then more so advocate for the underrepresented. So myself now in tech, women, triracial, and also I feel like just that Indigenous part especially is very, very lacking in tech and in design as a whole. So, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, if you take all the underrepresented, you take like women, you know, or LGBTQ and all of the underrepresented, then you get like at the very bottom, there's Indigenous. And that's where I'm like, that's where I really want to like kind of like focus my effort. And there's only so much I can do being one, but my goal and desire is to do what I can do to help that side of things. As it is, I heard of one other Indigenous person in WordPress, and I know of one other one, and he often does come to WordCamps, and so when we see each other, we're like, hi, and we like geek out together. So there's that, and I'm sure there's more. Maybe we'll find out more just from this interview. So yeah.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that how you put that, like, I've noticed that because of, you know, not being fully into any one group. I'm a quarter Hispanic, but I don't look it. I was raised by a very white family. And so I don't really fit into that, but I also don't completely fit into this, right? So like that kind of dichotomy. But I think that the way you said like that awareness and like you how you see and how it affects how you, you know, carry yourself and care for others and see others that are aren't necessarily like in the spotlight. I think that's, I mean, that is like amazing. Like I wish more people had that kind of experience, because once you really start noticing if you're not just like assuming that you're the default, which is our, because then you're just like, oh, well, I didn't notice because I was just doing my own thing. So I think that's really valuable. And, you know, I agree. I think, and especially like when you were talking about like, there's, you know, some, I can imagine that the indigenous communities is really hard, because it's like, we have since the very beginning, put them into little areas. Like you go over there and so they're like physically separated and, you know, mentally like forgotten about in mainstream world. Right. 100%. So what could we do to address that? How could we like bring people in or go to where we are needed?
Yeah. I mean, with that, it's hard enough as it is just within my own community. And thankfully, and I guess this is just fate, is my family in general are very good about helping everyone do better and get better. Because part of the problem is like, we've been so silented that, and we're just so passive as a large, like, you know, like this macro scale of Indigenous in North America. And so I come from a lot of family members, aunts and uncles, who are very big on like empowering youth, Native youth. And so thankfully there's that, but there's so much generational oppression that there's more that is needed, right? And so if anything, obviously WordPress does its best and does what better than most communities is being inclusive. But I think it goes beyond that, in that we need to invite, you know, but the hard part is it's like, how many of us know where to invite? So it's, you know, it's getting curious about where we're from. Every state has tribes, you know, federally recognized tribes, and it's getting curious. It's maybe teaching a coding camp and on a res or in an area where there, you know, there's a lot of indigenous people in your cities. Those are very simple ways to just even get, I get, at least if we're curious and we go look and then we see the opportunity to then serve in some capacity like that, then it gets indigenous people to be curious as well. Because a lot of it is, there's so much talent in indigenous, they just don't know. And there's definitely an awakening happening for sure, but there's still a lot that don't know, or they don't even know what we're good at. It was like me being 20 and a mom and a wife and not knowing who the heck I was. You know, I just didn't know. It's kind of the same thing. They just need to be enlightened and educated, and then they'll know. And then we'll have more. I'm convinced we'll have more.
You know, that reminds me of, I remember when I was down in Costa Rica before the pandemic hit, and they were doing kind of a similar outreach into like the smaller, you know, areas, like the towns and stuff, you know, and doing like classes and doing free classes. And I think that's an amazing thing. Look at Mary Jo, like she's like going to places all around Africa, even like other countries, to like teach people. And I think like that is a really, because it's like invite you to like come to this crazy thing where all these very loud, typically white Americans are. But instead, like, no, we're going to take ourselves out of our comfort zone and go to you, but also learn. Because like you said, like, I have definitely seen that in indigenous communities. I think because the arts, music, and everything is so much more, there's so much more weight to it. And like, there's, you know, we just like, oh yeah, we just do these things. Like everything is intentional. And yeah. I'm like, that intention, like that, we could really benefit from more of that kind of mindset.
No, absolutely. I didn't actually wear it today, but I just commissioned a fellow tribal member of my tribe. She makes jewelry, and my tribe is located in Nevada, like just outside of Reno, which is my hometown. And we're really big on pine nuts. And so she incorporates pine nuts into all of her jewelry. So I commissioned her to make one, and I made it for Portugal to wear, and I literally never wore it. But that's a long story. But, and I was like so happy to like showcase it, because it was very intentional, like you talked about, because it represents our tribe and the things that matter to our tribe. So, and it's so cute. It's pretty, but, and one day
I can't wait to see it. Yeah.
You have to post it on Twitter, like just selfie with it.
I will. Or on TikTok.
I know, I haven't done TikTok. You see, you were really good on TikTok. I'm like baseline level on TikTok.
That's all it requires, really. It's all, who knows?
You have to be a child at heart. Like my granddaughter can do TikTok.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. That's funny. On my bio, is a lot of places I say young soul, because I joke that I'm an overgrown child. So yes, I get it.
Hey, Women in WP listeners, this is Tracy with a quick message from our sponsor, Ninja Forms. Wish you could build forms for WordPress without spending forever or recruiting help? You can. Ninja Forms is the WordPress form plugin that is both extremely flexible and easy to use. Create contact forms, order forms, donation forms, and more in literally minutes using pre-built templates. Easily customize with form logic, upload fields, multi-step pages, and more. Just drag and drop what you need where you need it. Integrate with hundreds of services like MailChimp, Google Sheets, HubSpot, and more without needing to write a line of code. Get Ninja Forms now at ninjaforms.com. And now, back to our show.
You know, when you and I met in Porto, we started to have this conversation, and it,
yeah,
I don't even know like what spurred it, but just kind of came out about women not tearing each other down. Like we, mm-hmm. it just spontaneously something erupted, and it was apropos, I think, of really nothing. It was just like, it just had to be said. And
yeah,
and it was just, I really was curious. You were so articulate with me with that. And I just want to hear more about, because you did say that when you wrote to us as well, it's like that you want to be passionate in your community and be quick to forgive and believe that people need grace. And, you know, we're talking about online, we're talking about TikTok, we have Twitter, we have Facebook. These kind of things can happen in social media. They can get kind of antagonistic and can go spiral downward pretty quickly and get out of control. And then we don't really build understanding. And we honestly, I think, really don't know the intention of that person, because I just don't think that's possible in social media to truly get underneath what's really being said and truly comprehend. But I want to hear your take on that.
I'm like, where do I start? I'm all, thank you, WordPress, for putting this passionate fire inside of me. Like back to what I was talking about earlier about like, that's where I found my identity. And I absolutely love humans. And I feel like my gift to this world is my love for humans. And I really like endearingly believe that I'm going to change this world. And so it hurts me when I see a lot of like tear down and a lot of like, you know, and I'll say words like virtue signaling and things. It's like, what is our purpose? And one, full confession right here, we're going back. I was marginalized by women growing up, like, and probably the same reasons, like not fully fitting into anybody's crowd. Even in high school, I was on the dance team, but I was also on color guard, and Midwest color guard is amazing. So maybe that's not a good, which is like the girls with, you know, marching band with flags and all that. But at the time in the late 90s, early 2000s, marching band in Arizona was a joke. And it was, you know, so I was like literally like on all types of like circles of like, you know, bottom of the spectrum when it comes to popularity, and then the top. And I wasn't part of anybody's group. And so I felt like because I just existed and I was me, and girls didn't like me, and it hurt me. And so I went a lot of my adult life avoiding women, full confession. And because of just being marginalized and hurt and bullied by women. And so now, as I started to discover like my giftings and what I was good at, like more and more and more, I look at my circles now, and like my trusted companions are women, you know, where before my most trusted were almost all men, which I still actually have a lot of guy friends. And I do have a lot of masculine energy. I won't disagree or not call that out. So, but all of that to say is I still see some of that. And especially because we are in a community, there's not a lot of women, that sometimes, and maybe that is a masculine energy, and I'm sorry if that's wrong to say that, but sometimes it is that I think there's a little bit of setting up camp around my brand as a woman in WordPress. And I want to be the one who's this person here and has this voice here. And I called it first, and nobody else gets to have this with me. And I'm over here like, bro, sorry, I use that word androgynously, but like, bro, we're all in this together. So like, there's no room for that here. And especially on Twitter, and I agree with you, Angela, 100%. I just feel like there's absolutely no way to tell intent on social media. Do I use it? Yes. Am I active on it? 100%. Anyone, you guys follow me on things, I'm very active, but it's not real life. And I will wholeheartedly forever fight for in real life interaction and exchanges. And that's a whole other story. And like, we talk about pandemic depression and trauma, but what I've been seeing is a lot of like pitchforks coming out for other women. And I'm just not down with that at all. Like, I feel like if we want to see more women in our community, then we need to build each other up, and we need to expect or assume good intent. And if someone makes a mistake, which we have, I'm not going to sit here and say women in our community haven't made mistakes. We have, but we need to forgive, because how are we going to get better? How are we going to get better? And now we're going to create a culture of like, shame and hiding. And if I make, and then we already suffer with imposter syndrome, do we not? I was literally in a meeting today the whole time thinking, I don't belong here. Like, you guys are way smarter than me. And it literally in my brain, I'm like, oh my God, shut up, Raquel. That's imposter syndrome going on. So we all suffer from it as it is. So we're just going to make it worse by tearing each other down and by not forgiving. So when someone makes a mistake, the idea is, and I've heard this talked about in the past, calling in, calling out, 100% calling in. I'm just going to say it, and everyone could quote me on it. Like, we call in because we want to get better. And in my mind, my motto is we want to get better together, because we don't have enough time in this world to fight. And we only have one life each. So why do I want to like hurt someone or tear them down? It hurts me so badly to think that I'm going to get better by stepping on this other person. Granted, I know that not maybe everybody's there, and maybe they have traumas, and then their way that they process their trauma is to then bully others, which I get that is the response. But my thought is, what if my actions actually educate someone to not do that? So that's my goal. My goal is to be in our community and to forgive women and to help them see where their error was and help us to all get better together. And it is hard, because I will say that like, I'm not that loud in there. Like, if I see another woman calling out another one, I won't just be like, stop it, you know, and maybe I should. But it's more of a, like, on a macro scale, can we like educate everybody to be this way? And if I'm modeling it, then maybe it'll be caught more, as opposed to, you know, just like do it. And I'm hoping that my influence will be that people catch it, this idea. And I feel like I just kind of rambled a lot right now and was all over the place.
No, but that's, I mean, I love that.
Exactly, calling,
yeah, the calling in versus calling out. And I feel that more poignantly, because as a woman, like commenting on, let's say, on a forum post, and I'll have some dude call me out and say, why are you even commenting? You're not a real developer. And I'm like, first of all, how do you know I'm not a real developer? And you're just saying that because I disagreed with what you said or had a ever so slightly different opinion, that I'm sharing an opinion just like you shared an opinion. But I've had men bully me to the point where I even had to get one kicked off a group. Or, I left the group, and then someone reported this person, and they said, we want you to join the group. And they kicked him out because he was such a bully. So it's like, men are bullying us enough. Exactly. We kind of don't need to be bullying, you know, and I don't think there's any real intention to bully, but I do feel like there's so much sensitivity. Women in a way are very sensitive to different things. And so then we will have a tendency to just call out. But the calling in, I think, is going to be more constructive and more productive. And we don't need to be building up camps for sure. So I'm 100%.
And one of
that.
The things that like I really have seen just in my own growth in, you know, going from, you know, kind of being raised in that, white capitalist America, right? To individual, whatever, you work hard, you do all these things and you succeed. And as opposed to that more communal, like, no, we all, the whole idea of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps is literally that phrase is because it is so impossible. It is like, it's over the top sarcastic, but people have used it the other way. And that is something I had to kind of learn from, because, you know, I was an only child. I was kind of quiet. I didn't really have a lot of friends my age. I was friends with the teachers more. So I was a real popular kid. That's awesome. But I'm like really sarcastic, or I joke about something because my family would do that, because my family's first language is sarcasm. And it's that like passive aggressive Midwestern sarcasm.
Oh no.
And I had to learn and unlearn that just not even to use that, because like my intention was, oh, we're joking around. This is something that my family does to show that they care. But it was interpreted much differently. And especially when it's just a text thing, that, you know, that can be like completely understood the complete opposite way. And so I just am like, you know, like it's not worth it. So I had to unlearn that kind of default of how to communicate with others, and especially on, you know, in public forums and in social media, and just be like, nope, like cutting out all that and just going back to basics. And it's been much easier, because then you know that it's not like, oh, you just didn't understand my joke.
100%. You're totally hitting one of my biggest points in the way that I feel like, because we could talk about this all day long about how it's not okay, but how do we fix it? And I 100% believe it's words. So I like often say that I'm very passionate about the communication, and I don't mean that in a major, you know what I mean? Like a communications major, like marketing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yes. Oh, what's your major? Communications. Oh, another yes. one. Like, right?
Yes. I mean, like our words are powerful, and we are take full responsibility for our words. So you're bringing up a perfect point, because this whole idea of like, you know, oh, our family's just super sarcastic, or that's how you know they love you when they tease you. Like, that's not okay. Like nope. We've gone decades, if not centuries, thinking that that sort of like way to treat others is okay. And like, there's a little bit of like, you know, yeah, like my closest friends who love me and make fun of me because I like did a cartwheel in public, because I do that, then yes, I'm like, okay, they love me, that was valid, I'm silly. But like, if someone's gonna make fun of me because of the way like I like my eyes squints when I smile, which like people have, you know, bad persons in the past have said that, then that's gonna hurt me, and that's not okay. And so we can use our words to build people up, like, and we can use our words to tear each other down. And that's like one of the talks is the only talk I want to give the rest of my life, is I call it communication with the empathy. And the idea is that the words we're using coming out of our mouth, it's not about me. It's about the person or my audience. And what do I need to say to them for them to understand me? Like, what do I need to say for them to feel my feelings, you know? So then that way we all have the shared empathy. So there's no more, so that doesn't mean there's no, that we can't be sarcastic. Like, again, someone could tease me all day long. Why? I 100% know that they love me. And I know that they love me because their words say it and their actions prove it. And it's not just sarcasm all day long, you know?
Yeah.
So words bring healing.
And so the like communication with empathy, that's a really big thing. And I, so I don't know if anyone else goes into these existential dilemmas, like when you're just like sitting alone somewhere, or maybe it's just because I was an only child. But I remember thinking, like, well, how I see this as the color red. Everyone's eyes are going to see red differently. How do I know what I'm seeing is red in the same as someone else? Like, yeah, we have a, but like, it's because so much is, it's translated by our own eyes and our own, you know, systems that work all differently. It and say someone who's colorblind, they're going to see a different color. But like, that, I think about that. I'd be like, this is red, but do I see red like you see red? Or you see red in a different way? Oh.
And that's okay.
Yeah. It's so true to this therapy called dialectic behavior therapy, and also known as DBT, but they talk about interpretation of event. And it kind of goes back to what you were saying, Raquel. It's like, let's assume good intent. And one thing that they say in DBT is assume the best intent that won't cause you harm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if your life is not in danger potentially from this situation, then assume it's okay to assume a better intent than what you maybe naturally from your past trauma or your survival strategies or whatever your way of getting through life would be to assume a worse intent. It's okay to, it's okay. Like, assume the best intent. And, but it's called an interpretation of event. And so that's what you're saying. You're talking about interpreting the color red, but it's like when we see someone say something negative on social media or something that just grits us the wrong way, it's like, maybe I just won't interpret that as horribly as that really sounded to me, and step back and not react to what that person just said. And maybe see if there's some other way I can address this, not on social media or even in person at a later time, and not even go there. You know, it won't hurt you to not respond to something is the other thing. It's not going to kill you if someone says something offensive on social media and you choose not to reply and just make a note to maybe
talk
to that person.
But are you sure?
But that's the calling out thing where we just feel like, no, yeah, I have to respond to this. I have to call this person out, and I have to call out the interpretation that I'm applying to what they said, true or not. And anyway, but it's so,
I see that a lot in, like marginalized community space that, you know, like for me being very much benefiting from the white privilege, that, oh, I need to have the last word, that's still centering myself in this, even though if I'm like, oh no, I want to, no, nope, I'm just not going to say anything, and I'm going to listen. And I think that that's something that is definitely, I think, hopefully has become more evident, especially through these past couple of years and all the protests, that more and more people are starting to see this. And start understanding, oh yeah, like listening and not centering ourselves around the problem in the problem, or like, oh no, what? No, just kind of listening and taking that, like, that is, it's something that's not modeled in a lot of things. And you know, we're talking about like kind of toxic communication. Look at every single rom-com. Look at every single one of those relationships, and I'm like, yeah, no, that totally is modeled as this, oh, this thing, and I'm like, that is toxic. And the, yeah, you know, healthy boundaries would be really helpful here, because then so I'll be sitting at these movies like, I think boundaries would be really helpful here.
That's really funny.
You wouldn't have a movie. I feel like I dissect every single movie ever. I'm like, if you just would have done this, then everything would be like solved. But then I'm like, but then there would be no movie. But no, to what we were saying earlier about like the intent. Yeah, no, like that, it's exactly the thing is like, you don't disregard wisdom. Like if you have intuition, I mean, there's people in our community that I immediately, the moment I met them, knew they were bad news. And I was right. And so that doesn't mean that you ignore that, right? You use wisdom. But what I did from that point on, knowing that, okay, something's not right here, all my radars are going off. Then I'm like, again, it was like, okay, but then I'm going to assume good intents. Like, so then I'm going to like respond in a gracious way, or I'm going to like, maybe like they're going to try to persuade me into some sort of something. And I'm going to be like, you know, maybe not, you know, and I'm going to do it in the most gracious way. And I will say, if anyone's curious about how to, you will just try and do it and change, and you will stumble like crazy. Your words will be nonsense. You won't know what you're doing. And I will say right now, one of the most amazing things to say in any sort of situation is, I have this desire to change the way I think, you know, like at this desire to like get all of us to be on the same page and to grow together. And so I'm tripping all over myself, and I'm not doing this the best way I possibly can, but I want to, and I'm doing it. And if you would just have the patience with me and allow me to make these mistakes along the way, then we're going to get there. Because I full-heartedly believe in vulnerability like crazy. And people say it, it's a buzzword. It's like the same thing with community building became a buzzword forever. And it kind of drove me crazy because I'm like, who's actually doing it? Or how many of us yell about our national level politics, which I get it. But how many of us are serving our neighborhoods and our cities? How many of us know our city council members? Like, what are we doing to actually show that we're going to do what it takes for us to serve and to have intent? What are we doing other than like, okay, I think I want to have good intent, so I'm just going to sit here and it's going to zap me. Something's going to zap me into having good intent. We have to start. And right now I'm doing the call to action. I just like shoved it all in here right now. But like, we have to start somewhere. We have to start somewhere. And not, I guess my point is, don't be afraid to stumble all over the place, and do not be afraid to be vulnerable and say, I am intentional about changing the way I've approached things in the past, and please bear with me. And I'll bear with you.
Oh, just I love like that. Yeah, because we've all made mistakes, even in our trying to be virtuous. And, you know, I've certainly feel like sometimes I come out about certain things that I'm passionate about, and it's like, was that effective? Like, was that the effective approach? And I felt very right and righteous about it, but I don't know that it landed. You know, maybe with some people who also feel right and righteous, it landed, but the other people maybe not. And so I think to be honest about, yeah, maybe I was wrong about that. Yeah, that's challenging. I think having children helps because they'll call you out on all that stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Your teenagers will tell you when you're full of it.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny because like when people say that they're not sure they're ever having kids, and I'm always like, don't do it. Like, you're right. Don't do it.
Don't, man.
But however, I will say that my kids are the best things, persons in my life. Like, they are, and I would not be who I was today if it wasn't for them. Like, I wouldn't. And so like, so to that point, I like joke with people all the time because I'm like, don't do it. It's 20 plus years of your life that is like dedicated to another person. But the other part of me is like, oh my gosh, but you will grow like crazy and you will be blessed beyond you can even imagine. Sorry, now that took a turn.
So in terms of your work, so you do this work with Elegant Themes event coordinator, and but you're also doing things aside from that in your communities and stuff. Tell us, like, what does it take if someone else was interested in doing the kind of work, being an event coordinator, doing the kind of work that you do? Like, how would you recommend they kind of get into that field and get started in this space?
Yeah, well, I mean, the way I did it was volunteering. So yeah. I like started volunteering for WordCamps, and I started organizing WordCamps, like every WordCamp. Like, I've organized 6+ WordCamp Phoenix events, and then 3 WordCamp US events. And really through all that, discovered this is what I love. I love doing this. What if I could actually get paid to do it? You know, and actually my company that I started with my ex-partner, like I exited from, and it was all like good exit, all good feels. I just really wanted to pursue this sort of work. So yeah, I left it and then just kept volunteering and And at WordCamp Phoenix 2019, I met the content manager from Elegant Themes, and he was like, we're looking for someone to do exactly what you do. And I was like, curious, because that's exactly what I do is exactly what I do. So, I mean, that's one way, but I mean, it literally is a walking resume. It is like volunteering and on LinkedIn. I mean, you can't put it as a job, but there's a part where you could put your volunteering. And I mean, that thing is jam packed with all of my volunteering, and I update it all the time. And I mean, and when you look at it, you're seeing that everything you're doing is the job description of a lot of what people are looking for. So that's one way to do it that way. Otherwise, of course, we know, you know, networking, like knowing people, like, you know, right now as it is, like I've met a lot of people in the community, and there's been a lot of roles in the community that have, would absolutely fit with me as well. And there are times that people have said, hey, I'd love for you to be on our team, but the timing's not right. And I'm like, you know where to find me, you know? So just, I mean, honestly, I guess all that to say, really, if someone wants to be in this sort of role, just start doing it, because this sort of role is something that can be done as a volunteer. And if you're doing it and you have the time to, or the ability to, then people are going to see, especially if you do it well, right? People are going to see. So just like that, that's the quickest
way. Do it.
Just do it.
Nothing ever happens sitting at home, just being good at something. You really do have to get out there.
And they say what you love, you do for free. Like, and how much of that is true? Like I went to school for photography and became a photographer literally as soon as somebody started paying me. I hated it. I was like, okay, I decided I do not want to be a photographer. But I loved volunteering. I loved organizing these events. Like loved it. I loved pouring parts of my life, like 40 hours plus per week, depending on how close you were to the event, you know, into the event. And so it just, you know, it works itself out that way. It's just like organic the way it all goes down.
That's amazing.
As someone that does not have those skills, I appreciate people that can do that and have that follow through. So I think it's something that we just kind of don't like seem to celebrate as much, because they're all behind the scenes. They're all doing those stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, but that's amazing. We wouldn't have any of this stuff. This stuff would just crumble and fall into the sea if this wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, and then to that note, I wish I did more public speaking. And I often kind of have these thoughts of like, oh my gosh, I wish I was as good as Tracy when she gives her talks, you know, or things like that.
I just stand there and I flail my arms around a lot. Basically, there's times I basically kind of, what I do, I feel like it's like a public speaking blackout, and then I will watch and I'll look at what people have live tweeted afterwards. They'll be like, oh, that was actually pretty good. I'm like, I don't remember, like, I didn't prepare saying that. I have no idea where that came from, but that was actually pretty good. Like, who was that?
That's too good. Well, and to that point too, what I was saying earlier, because even what I do for the WP Minute, like, that's because I'm really good friends with Matt. I'd like love him like a brother, and he was really wanting some help from the community side of just wrangling content. And I was like, well, I love you, so let's do this. Like you're one of my favorite peoples. So like, why wouldn't I want to help you with this? So I mean, again, it goes back to like just doing it and networking. Ugh, I hate using that word. It's so like biz, you know?
Yeah, I know, but yeah.
Got another phrase for that? Another word, networking.
I know.
People
have, I know, we'll have to think of something. Yes, we'll have to put out a poll, because yeah, I think I agree.
So many different things, so many different people. Like, people think network, oh, the business cards at a networking event. Ew.
Oh gosh.
Ew. Gross.
I was just trying to think of what I could do with a business card. And actually what I was thinking is, now I need to learn this, but I want a little QR code that then would have like this augmented reality, and then have a little Tupac on top of my business card presenting my work.
Coachella,
I think, Tupac. But right,
like the Tupac. Coachella hologram Tupac.
Exactly.
I had so much stuff that I had to pack leaving Porto from WordCamp Europe, and I brought the stack of business cards that I did not use at all. And someone had given me this little tiny disc, a plastic disc, that if you just waved it over the phone, it would add you to their phone.
That's magic. Awesome.
So I had the stack of business cards. So I never handed out even a single one. And so I threw them away in Porter, like threw them into the recycling. And it was like, okay, I guess I'm done with business cards for the rest of my life. Like, I'm just going to go around waving this little plastic disc thing and just enter people's phones.
That's why I started doing stickers, because I was like, I put my stickers on my computer and my water bottle.
That's more impactful. I think cute stickers. I love that.
Or the QR codes. Definitely. Yep. Because it's not, the idea of a business card isn't bad. It's just like, as soon as someone hands me one, I'm like,
yeah,
trash. Like, you know, like, and it's exactly. Not that I don't want to connect with them. I do. And that's why I like having some sort of like bump is the best.
That's
for, like,
right.
QR code. Yeah.
Well, it's been great talking to you. I did want to just touch on, before we go, the fact that you are an active ballroom dancer.
Oh, that's so funny.
We've totally missed. I love it. Yes, I love those videos.
So you're community queen, you're an extrovert, you love people, and you do dance.
A talk and teach us how to ballroom dance.
Oh, wow. That would be amazing. Oh my gosh. Really quick story. For WordCamp Phoenix 2019, it was our 10-year anniversary and our whole theme was academics. So it was like a high school reunion. And for our after party, we were literally calling it a homecoming. And we had a homecoming dance and the whole team fought me. They said, Raquel, no one's going to do a dance. I like hired my dance coach to come and teach everybody bachata. And were you there? Like,
I wish I could have been.
And my whole team, every single one of them was like, Raquel, I just don't think that's our community. There was 80 people here, actually in this room where I'm at now. dancing bachata, WordPressers, you know, they were dancing bachata and I was so proud. I was like, that's
I'm down with this. I'm down with the flash mob at the word camps. Let's make it happen every time.
But I grew up, I was a dancer, like, and up actually up to like my, even having my last baby to like 26, 25. And anyway, and I took a 10-year hiatus and then not on purpose. And I got to the point where I was like, I need to dance again. Someone's going to die. Either you're going to die or I'm going to die. Someone's going to die. Then I'll dance again. And then found ballroom. And so like, it's so much fun. It's so much fun and very athletic. And my favorite styles are like the Latin style. So like salsa or bachata or like cha-cha, rumba, all that stuff. It's absolutely my favorite. It definitely exercises that part of me, that artist part of me, where an actor, like I used to do theater. And so it's my saving grace. For sure.
That's awesome. Yay.
Well, I will look forward to when you will be doing a talk or workshop on whatever kind of dance. I want to learn all of it. So I'll be there.
So funny. I'll have to give little tiny lessons at a WordCamp after party because I don't think any place will accept my talk if it's
well, they should
relate it to how you can build community through salsa.
Yes.
Because some people might think that you're talking about salsa, the food, and they'll be like, oh, that's true. I like chips. And then be like, salsa dancing? Yeah.
Well, my stepdaughter is a competitive salsa dancer. I'll send you some videos. And she's got community. I'd say there you got something on there.
Community, you're right. Dance. It's commissioned.
Alrighty.
I'll give you guys credit.
let people know how they can find you online.
Oh yeah. So I am in the middle of sunsetting my last name because it's my married name, but I've had it for over 20 years and I'm not married anymore. So I'm trying to be strategic. So all that to say, I've now adopted my middle name. So it's Raquel Carina in most places. So in Twitter, it's Raquel @Raquel_Carina. And then Instagram, it's Raquel, LinkedIn, like the URLs, it's all like Raquel Carina, even Facebook. But my name is still Raquel Landefeld, but if you just search Raquel Carina or Raquel Landefeld, almost anywhere you'll find me. In any Slack instance in WordPress, it's just Raquel. Thankfully, I'm the only Raquel. So not too hard to find.
That's awesome. Yay. And we would like to do a last acknowledgement for our sponsor, wonderful sponsor, Ninja Forms. And that allows us to be able to edit the episodes, host, transcribe, all the good things. If you're interested in being a sponsor of this podcast, please reach out to us womeninwp@gmail.com. And thank you so much, Raquel, for being here today.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womeninwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.